he's got tendonitis, so not very pressing. He didn't have any issues yesterday. He'll go out today and tomorrow, and we'll see where he is.
Riley Cooper didn't practice yesterday.
He'll practice today. So,
eight players that predated your arrival have signed extensions here. Just on, I guess, the notion that you want to get rid of all of Andy Reid's players. What have they done to stick around and to also be a part of what you're building here?
I didn't know that was a notion.
It's been thrown out there a few times.
Who throws that out there?
Not me. I never threw that out.
Interesting. What have they done? They've shown that they're really good football players.
Besides talent, the buying in part, I mean...
No, I don't know where that part comes from either. They're really good football players, and they fit what we want schematically, and they're good in what we do. So.
Hey, Chip, how was Josh Andrews with you last year?
Yeah.
What kind of camp has he had, and has he worked at the center at all?
Yeah, he's done both. He's played center and guard. I think he's had a good camp. The Jets game will be another big test for him. He's played both positions, kind of bouncing around, just like all those guys that aren't in that first group. There's got to be some versatility, whether they be a guard center, whether they be a guard tackle. So, we liked him last year. He was on the practice squad the whole year for us. I think he's got some explosion in him. He's a bigger body, but we like Josh, and I think this will be a big test for him on Thursday actually.
Are the coaches starting on the Falcons?
Yeah, we started on them a while ago. So,
in practice this week, do you do anything?
No. Not for them. We'll wait till we get in game week. We have 2 days of training, so it was yesterday and today. Yesterday we went against each other, and today we're trying to give some of those twos and threes the Jets look, and then the ones and ones will get matched up against each other. So,
as you approach this last preseason game, is there one position that you'll really focus in on to identify what needs to be done? Anything?
No, I think there's a lot of almost every position. There's still decisions that have to be made towards the bottom end of the roster. So there's not one that's more important or that we're looking at harder than any of the other positions. So there's a lot of competition still going on, and it'll be an important game for a lot of guys on Thursday.
Have you made that last roster move yet, or you got to wait till after?
No, we got to wait till the end of training today just to see where our health is.
Are there some players who handle your pace better right away than others? I mean, some people have to struggle with that like you would struggle with decision-making, things like that.
No, I think because we train that way in the off season, so I think they're prepared for it. When we got to camp in August here, I think they were ready for it. There were some guys when they're new to it and haven't trained that way before, they probably it's hard in the beginning, but had no issues with any of the guys when we start in August because of what we do from April 20th to the middle of June kind of prepares them, and they've got a pretty good understanding of it. So
there's no natural trait that way. I mean, there's no. Like,
I mean, there are some guys that have better VO2 capacity than other guys, but that's that's just a God-given ability. But, it's still our sport's still an anaerobic sport, too. So it's not – it's just the ability of your muscles to, to just – are you in shape or are you not in shape, to play at that tempo and that pace. But it's a train in shape, out of shape. It's not something that I don't think anybody can reach.
How has Kenyon Barner grown from Oregon to now, and why did you first move him from defensive back to running back, if you remember that?
We moved him when we first moved him because we were hurting at running back in the springtime. We had a couple injuries in the spring, and he was an outstanding high school running back, which a lot of defensive backs at the college level were outstanding on offense. They just, you got to kind of settle in on one position. He was a two-way player in high school, but was an outstanding running back, and he just seemed like the most logical candidate for us, and was really, I think, about 10 practices in to spring practice when we moved Kenyon. So it wasn't, and it was really just because of depth. We had a couple guys banged up, and when you're going through spring ball at the college level to finish out practice 11 through 15 and playing a spring game, you got to have a running back. So you can't, because no one else can, you can't be an empty the rest of the next three practices or four practices, because the defense needs to have looks too. So it's just a matter of, trying to get a guy to finish out spring practice. And obviously it kind of caught our eye, that he's pretty talented on that side of the ball. We had some depth in the secondary at the time, so we transitioned him to over. So
they're fighting for these final roster spots. Is it necessarily important for them to kind of show versatility too, like the ends being able to move inside and the tackles move outside?
Yeah, but almost all of our defensive linemen play both positions, play nose and defensive line. So Benny can play both, Fletch plays both, Sed plays both. Same with Brandon and Taylor and those guys. So I think we train them that way, you know, and really how you line up as a four technique is no different than lining up as a shade. You're, you know, your head up, the player over you, and you have to control two gaps when you're in our base defense. So I think the way we train them lends to their versatility from that standpoint.
How much weight does this final game carry for the decision between Tim and Matt, or are your opinions pretty well formed?
No, our opinions aren't formed. It's one more time for game opportunities. Obviously, I think especially with the quarterback position, practice is different just because they're wearing red jerseys. You know, when they're not hit, I think when you get them out there in a game, it's another opportunity to get a legitimate evaluation of them. So there is a lot of weight in it.
What did you ask on in terms of he talked yesterday about how he's never had to worry about his arm strength over the last year because of that surgery early on. What have you seen out of him?
I don't think he had surgery.
Coming off the shoulder injury.
Yeah, but I'm just saying I don't think he had surgery.
Right, what have you seen out of Matt in terms of making the necessary throws within the offense?
I think Matt can make all the throws in this offense. You know, it's just about getting acclimated, decision-making, and he's done a really nice job of it. I think he's better now than when we first got him, and he's shown improvement in every year. So I think he's really well-versed in what we do. So he got a big night again on Thursday night, but I know he's excited about playing in it. So.
In the Jets game last year, Matt went three-quarters. He wanted more.
We haven't talked about that yet. Just we know Matt and Tim are playing, but we'll sit down and kind of figure it out, you know, who's in, who's out, who really what's going on at the other positions, you know, but we'll finalize all that later on.
Matt, yesterday he was going to start. Did you inform him he was going to start the game?
Yeah, Brian did, yeah. He'll start the game, but that, I mean, who starts and who finishes in preseason games, I don't think that's important. You know, sure, trying to distribute the reps is the big thing, and we haven't talked about exactly how we'll distribute the reps.
Sure, with the three backs you have, are you able to do things with this offense running back-wise that maybe you've never been able to do at any level before?
No, we had a lot of versatile backs when I was at Oregon, but I think for the two years going into our third year here, we have more depth at the running back spot. So since we've been here, I think we can do more with those guys.
What's Cody Collins? Cody Parkey?
Yeah, Cody's doing well.
I've heard Chip from other.
How difficult is it to evaluate Marcus Smith with all the time he's missed?
You just got to evaluate him on what's available. So you know he did play in first preseason game, and then obviously got hurt while we were training with the Ravens. So, you know, we have that. We have last spring to work off of with Marcus, and then the practices and training sessions we had before he got hurt. So that's what we have to go off of with him.
I've heard from other play callers that when they're making one call, they're almost that play is almost old news because they're already thinking two or three plays ahead. Do you think that way when you're making calls during the course of the game?
No. I don't. I mean, I've never heard that either, because I don't know how you think three plays ahead when the play you just ran, you don't know what the outcome of that play is. So, you know, you could get sacked if it's first and – say it's second and two. And I'm not thinking about my next call because I don't know if it's a first down on the next call. I could be sacked, and now I got to make a call that's a third and 12 call, or I got a first down, now I got to make a first down call. So I'm not thinking – unless that's the way I've always approached it. I need to know the situation. So I'm just thinking to what the – and I'm not thinking until the next play, until we have the outcome of the last play. The important thing for us is right hash, third and short, you know, third and two. Right hash, first and 10, because that drastically changed what your play call is going
to
be.
Are there any calls to set to perhaps you're looking for something down the road that maybe will set something up because the defense still wants to do one thing? I think that was kind of what was.
Yeah, we're not trying to set things up. We'll talk between series over how – you know, people have reacted to what we're doing formation-wise. First play of a series, you know, you got the first play of the last five series in a row, they've blitzed you, you know. You know, is there a pattern that's happening there? But, again, we talked about it the other day. There's not many constants in this league. Usually, I think the guys on the other side that are calling plays are self-scouting themselves. Like, hey, I've come after them the first five, you know, the first play of it, the last five possessions. I'm not going to come after them now, so... sometimes I think you put too much stock in what you think you're going to get, you know.
The Lactose and Collins secondary, as you termed it, is that a product of the personnel you have out there or a specific emphasis this year?
No, I just think when we looked at giving up too many X plays last year, what happened? And a lot of times we were biting underneath routes when we were supposed to play on the deep part of the ball, or biting on ball fakes or things that we shouldn't do. It's more of just what's your responsibility in doing your job. And some of that was guys, you know, just – eyes weren't in the right place when weren't as disciplined as they need to be. So that's something we had to correct, because we had to correct the number of X plays that we had against us because they were too high.
When you look at a guy like Jerome Copeland, I mean, how valuable do you think it was for him to kind of be here, like, towards the end of last season and kind of get him a head start?
I think it's valuable for anybody that's got experience in your system, just like it was valuable for Ed to be here last year with us. Same with Chris. You know, they were all here last year, those guys that are competing, you know, for that safety spot. So I think anytime you got more experience in a system is better than having less experience in a system.
You've seen the progress from Copeland? I mean, I know he was out for a couple of weeks with the appendicitis and everything, but like,
we never look at it, is there enough or not enough? We just, this is what's presented to us, and come Friday morning, we're going to have to make some decisions, and it'll all be based upon the evidence that we have in front of us. So,
what has Rasheed Bailey brought to the table? Can you sense the giddiness in him, you know, being able to play for his hometown team, and, you know, the city's kind of gotten behind the local?
No, actually I don't, and I think that's a positive, because he's not overwhelmed or overcome because he's playing in his hometown or playing for his favorite team growing up. I think he's really focused on what he has to do, and that's improve on a constant basis. You know, sometimes you worry about that when you get a guy in that situation. Is he just going to press and try to do too many things? And you know, I remarked in our first game, he was extremely calm, went out there and made plays against the Colts, and I think that's it's been impressive for him, because it's obviously a different situation than anybody else is in. So, thanks, guys.